Patrick Miner is welcoming another interesting guest today, Mr. Jim Johnson of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Jim is the assistant general manager of a convention center, and I'm particularly interested in visiting with Jim about matters pertaining to the environment. I've just parked out front. Show me around the facility.
Lobby doors, the box office. To the left side is the Premier Center, which was built in 2014 as the city grew. You know, city saw the need to have more entertainment options, and as the city grew, bigger buildings. Off to the right, or the east side, is the Sioux Falls Convention Center, originally built in 1992. We have about 50,000 square feet of exhibit hall space, 14 meeting rooms, a concourse that connects them. All the way to the east is the Sioux Falls Arena, which seats about 5,000 people. That was built in 1961 and hosted just about every musical act, including Elvis. We use it for a lot now are some of the smaller events, like the circus goes in there, high school graduations, because we do still have the fixed seating and the flat floor. We also host a lot of trade shows and banquets in that space as well when the convention center is full. But that building, over its 60 years now, has hosted everyone you can think of, from Fleetwood Mac to Elton John, Garth Brooks, said Elvis.
Now, into the section made in 2014, what is that section primarily comprised of?
It's a multi-use venue. We host a lot of concerts, sporting events. We have a ice hockey team. We have an indoor football team that plays here. We host the Summit League basketball college tournaments here.
To transform the facility to hockey, to rodeo, to a rock and roll concert, there must be a lot of wires to get cut and reconnected, and furniture gets moved around.
It does. It takes a lot to move from one type of event to another. Pretty much operating here 24 hours a day with some sort of staff here. Just this past weekend, we hosted a rock concert on Friday night. And then overnight, the crew had to come up, clean everything, tear down the stage, uncover the ice floor. Right after that game on Saturday, we had to do it all over again for a football game. And a lot of labor to get it done, but stay busy and try and have something for everyone. Just a lot of work that goes into it. Talk about something like a rodeo coming in and out. A contractor bringing in all of the dirt and the steel work, and one group's coming in right as the other one's coming out.
There must be a dozen fascinating stories about where things just about didn't work.
Yeah, you know, we try and avoid it, and we've been doing this long enough. We know where all the tricks are going to be, so kind of prioritize. Not the building's never 100% ready when the next group comes in, but you know what areas they need first, so that's the first you work on. And while they're moving in all the lights and sound for a concert, then you're cleaning the bathrooms on the top floor. That won't get used till later that night.
How many employees would be involved in the transition, and let's say from the rock and roll to a rodeo, the rock and roll to stadium football?
Overnight, on a night like that, we could probably have about 50 people here. Half of those are housekeeping, spring sweeping, cleaning the restrooms, while our union and operations folks are about 25 of them tearing down stages and moving furniture and getting everything set there.
Is there a collaboration?
Yeah, there's definitely collaboration on the concert side. One of the nice things about Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is it's geographically right in the middle of the United States. So people will travel, whether they're traveling east to west or vice versa, north to south. There's a good chance they're going to pass through South Dakota. So I collaborate a lot with surrounding larger cities when looking at concert tours, like Minneapolis or Kansas City or Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska, just to kind of see what's happening and who's going through where.
That is, that many listeners won't really have much of an idea of where South Dakota itself is.
We're within an overnight drive of Milwaukee. Oklahoma City or a Tulsa is a little bit longer, but when concerts are looking at where they want to play. They're looking at that 8 hour or less drive that they're during the day while the concert's going on. Their bus and truck drivers are sleeping and they're up at 2 o'clock in the morning ready to go and drive to the next city.
Sioux Falls is what, maybe 6, 7, 8 hours from the Canadian border of the United States?
Yeah, you see some tours come from Canada down through like a Milwaukee or Green Bay or Minnesota.
Okay, let's focus a little bit then on the environmental impact, what the environmental challenges are to a good steward like your company.
Challenges first, trash generation is always a big one. If you think about a concert and you've got 10,000 people here enjoying a beverage, eating, using the restroom, there is a lot of trash generated there. Thankfully, with kind of technology and some of the steps buildings are focusing on, newer buildings have some new technology to take advantage of to reduce expenses and lower their carbon footprint. A lot of the venues obviously recognize the need for being more conscientious about what we're doing, reducing waste, reducing carbon footprint, paying close attention to the use of natural resources. In my opinion, the management companies like ASM Global really focused on this. And you see it a lot on the concert side with performers as well, setting minimum expectations for either recycling or healthy food options, things that on the touring side, they can reduce their carbon footprint as well.
Yeah, I was reading not long ago that in Columbus, Ohio, the convention center has a program where they grow a lot of their own food. Now, so there's a sustainability thing that the convention center is doing. Is there an emphasis on local sourcing?
Yes, we always prefer to source local. And honestly, I think the patrons expect that, and our guests through the building, they want to support not only the local businesses and local agriculture, it's something unique to this region. And every region has it, specialty foods.
The next big plans for the facility, are there any construction projects that are pending for the next couple of years?
The last construction project, that 2014 construction of the Premier Center, obviously that means we're getting ready to celebrate our 10th anniversary. Always kind of looking at what the next steps are in the development of the city. But most of our construction plans here are really just updating building systems that have been online for 10 years and looking at improvements and what the paying guests are looking for.
It is such a unique industry.
Every day is completely different. We talked about one day I'm doing a concert, the next day I'm doing a banquet. Every day is different. It always keeps it fresh. The other thing I love is the team that works here, everyone has their own skill set. So like you said, it's not a factory where everyone's trained in the same way and doing the same thing. It's really functioning as a team and a machine here because we have accountants that do our books. We have IT folks who are computer whizzes who keep everything working on the back end, to executive chefs and sous chefs and catering experts. So everyone has their skill set and people can come from all backgrounds and skill sets and work in an industry like this to keep it running. And I work for a private management company that the city has hired to operate these buildings for them. There's a separate company that operates all the food and beverage operations. They have a contract with the city. My company, ASM Global, we manage the facility for the city in every aspect from booking and sales and accounting, maintenance, setup, cleaning, event planning.
Many listeners won't really have an idea what it means to be South Dakota. I think we should say that the population of the state is below 1 million. So we're talking about a facility that can handle 20,000. I don't know how many cities there are in South Dakota that have populations of 20,000 and more. There can't be 10.
Yeah, so when we do events, people are driving in from all the surrounding states to attend an event here. In other parts of the country or even other parts of the world, people can't imagine driving 4 to 5 hours to go to an event, but it's commonplace here in the Midwest.
I'm thinking again about Sioux Falls. We take for granted what Sioux Falls means. The city is on the Sioux River. The river has a waterfall there, so it's Sioux Falls. I'm sure there must be an occasional Lakota Sioux event in your facility.
Just this past weekend, we did host a powwow with the area Sioux tribes celebrating. It was called Honoring Our Children Powwow, so it was their celebration of the kids that are graduating high school. They came out for 2 days, and great to look at the ornate dress and the traditions being held there. And just outside of the state, Pipestone, Minnesota, will have some fantastic stories and displays on the pipestone they use to make all the peace pipes that they would trade across North America between tribes and what they considered to be sacred, and getting the opportunity to watch members of the tribe actually carve the stone and explain their history and how important that artifact is to them and their people.
Yeah, pipestone has a couple interesting connections with me. Number one, I know an individual born. And then there was also once a foot race, some people racing barefoot. And I know the person that won that foot race in pipestone also. So a couple things I remember about pipestone.
We talked a little bit about the focus on the environment, and I'd like to talk about some of the things we do here and some of the things I've done or seen in the industry that venues are doing. I think the biggest thing we've changed recently, we've eliminated all of our plastic cups. When someone comes to get a beer or a cocktail, it used to be in a plastic cup. I think I mentioned previously just the trash generation is a big part of it. So we were working with a local company who helped us getting rid of our plastic cups and going to a compostable cup that will break down. Some other changes we have made recently, we've installed the bottle filling stations. So instead of just plastic bottles of water over and over, people can refill at stations throughout. People are allowed to bring in, if they have a clear reusable water bottle, they can bring that in and refill that during the events. Been a big push in the industry to get rid of printable tickets. If you've been to a concert, that's in an effort to reduce that paper waste when you over-prepare food. Or big proponents of taking any unserved food and donating that to area shelters or not-for-profits that have kitchens for residents. We also always try and encourage people to take advantage of rideshare and carpooling to eliminate the traffic and the emissions. Here we've designated official areas for Lyft and Uber pickup and drop off.
Tell me more about the food that goes to the nonprofits. How exactly is that done?
So typically our kitchen, especially for like a catering event, throwing a holiday party, and they think they're going to have 500 people show up and only 250 or 300 show up, you've overprepared food. So you have pans of anything from meats, vegetables, that sort of thing. There are a couple organizations in town. One is kind of like a halfway house with a full kitchen that they'll feed their residents. Others are homeless shelters that people can come in for a hot meal and go. There's some of these organizations, they can pick up the phone 24 hours a day and say, hey, I have 3 pans of lasagna here that are going to go in the dumpster unless you want to come get them. And they'll jump in their car and drive right over. We also have staff volunteer to take it and drop it off at these places. We'll also do that for what they anticipate going through in a month's time. And, you know, once a week, they're looking at all the expiration dates. And if they see anything that's going to expire in 2 weeks, but we don't have an event in 3 weeks, they will just donate all of that. With every building being built, you're seeing more and more innovation and savings of utilities. And the important thing is to look at it when it's being built. That's why you see it in some of the newer venues, because we learn more about the environment and the impact every year. I've seen venues during construction start using groundwater for landscape. And now just for the cost of drilling one well and one pump, you can do all of that at no charge, because when you're using it for landscaping, it just goes right back into the groundwater anyway. I've seen venues new where their predominant cool breeze was coming from, and they would install louver windows so they can regulate the temperature inside the building just rather than running air conditioning units. You had mentioned the green space roof, where some venues will grow their food right on their own roof. A lot of venues are realizing the importance of green space around the complex, just landscaping, trees, footpaths, things like that. People less and less want to spend time in a concrete jungle and would like a little piece of nature while at a conference.
I'm very grateful for the time you've given me, and I thank you.
The conversation with Mr. Johnson was very helpful. The conversation, of course, was centered on the dimension, the physical dimension. I was particularly impressed when Mr. Johnson discussed how the convention center's practices influence and impact other parts of the Sioux Falls community. Now, there's another dimension to the Premier Center, and that is that the center itself, it's this broader area of influence that gives the convention center the wonderful opportunity to serve as an example. I think the convention center provides great leadership in terms of issues of sustainability.